Here we are. Okay.
Wonderful. So everyone can now turn that off. All right. So welcome to the May monthly Q&A. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here. So what do we have coming up in the world of Aziz shamanism? Let me please give you just these few notices before we get on to today's topic. So we have, if you are part of the online Ultimate Healing course, we've got our next session coming up on the 18th of May on this month, where we'll be going through the following modules, and talking about shadow, I do believe. On the 1st of June, so on the 1st of next month, we have our public, private Q&A. Plus, as well, if you've ever been interested or curious about doing point holding, being guided by Peter through the process, then you have the opportunity to hear more about the online point holding on the 1st of June, because Peter will be doing a webinar where he will be introducing the idea of online point holding, who it's for, and how it can support you. So food for thought there, planting the seed. If anyone is interested in the online point holding course coming up and later on this year, then questions can be answered then. And you still have the opportunity to attend the 3-week intensive in-person point holding course, which will be happening in, I was going to say Amsterdam. I know it's not Amsterdam, in Holland, in Europe. So if you would like to join the 3-week intensive, that is still available starting on the 18th of June for 3 weeks. And also there is the crystal course that Peter will be facilitating whilst he is in Germany, also in June. And don't forget that Peter will be holding his next medicine ayahuasca retreat in
Interesting.
August. So lots going on, lots going on, lots of opportunity. But today, Peter, you're going to be talking about how we can navigate through these times in beauty and chaos and everything else.
Okay, all ready.
I'll spotlight you. Thank you very much.
So hopefully you've already read my blog, so I've just gone a little bit further on to talk about that. Main thing we'll talk about at this time is quantum entanglement, because this is how everybody's been trapped with the negative states. And it's a common principle used in science, but it's actually been used in science in many different ways. It's simply the principle by which something can be bound to something across the universe, by the same frequency, even though there's actually no direct link. It just shows how everything in the universe is connected through what used to be called the Web of Weird. Now they're calling it quantum entanglement, giving it a newfangled name. The same principle we have in science, when it's right when I copy a symbol to be used, it has to be an exact copy so it works somewhere else as well, because the energy
Peter,
is
please slow
transferred.
down. You're talking rather fast.
So energy is transferred when there's an exact copy. So this quantum entanglement principle is actually pretty universal. It's everywhere. And once you realize how easy it is to do, you can see that it's been actually quite a lot misused. Luckily, we have much easier ways to do it with that technology, because quite often these people who are doing this work don't have the spiritual connection, which makes it easier. A simple example of how they've actually overcome their problems before. I remember once when I first was doing some earth healing, it was down at Newbury Hill at the time where they'd actually been cutting through the trees and the hills and everything. Well, that's what they're actually doing. They're actually moving a PowerPoint from the hill where the kings used to be crowned into Winchester College with a mason's train. So I did all this massive work of moving earth around, and I actually put it right by putting a couple of crystals in the earth. You see how easy it is when you actually understand energy. Same with quantum entanglement. They've got so many different ways of using technology, AI, and all sorts of things everywhere to actually keep people connected to the negative states I want to keep them in. Negative entities, negative thought forms, basically their view of how the world should be. Keep everybody down under control as slaves. So there's a lot there to actually pull people to those states through quantum entanglement. So what I did is come up with a program which actually simply reverses the whole thing in one go. And you have to need about worry about all the different technologies, so you get to the right root of the problem, which is that simple quantum link. If you can break that down, it's gone. You don't have to worry about the different technologies they use anymore. So I'm going to be doing that today. So I wanted to explain a bit how that works. This would actually disentangle you from all the negative entities, all lower vibrations, basically everything that we see on the negative side that we don't want to go to. At the same time, actually creating the quantum link to the more expanded universe, the higher states, the higher consciousness. Therefore, they actually create a portal to them, like a cosmic nexus, a kind of cosmic awareness. So it's actually helps make the shift of energy into the world we want. But actually, by keeping you there, by not entangling this other kind of state, you won't manifest it. So it's actually quite a very simple addition to what we're doing to actually really make it happen. You see, we can spend all day talking about the state we've got to try and achieve emotionally, mentally, But if everything is actually trying to pull you back to the negative state, it's very hard to maintain that. So it's very useful to actually just cut that one off and we're done. Having said that, there's a few things we need to be aware of. That's what I was trying to talk about in my blog. That basically, in times of change, in crisis, we seek a tether. There's going to be chaos. Between where you are now and where you're going, there's chaos. Because things are breaking down, rebuilding. Like when a caterpillar goes into its cocoon, turns a butterfly, it first goes to this almost liquidized state. Everything's breaking down. This happens every kind of change, but particularly when making a big change in the world, whether it's going to be the negative or the positive side, there's going to be chaos in between. It's in that chaos that you have this bifurcation happening, actually. In chaos, you come out one side or the other, but you have to enter the chaos. The thing about chaos is that while you're in it, you seek a tether. That tether is going to determine where you're going to end up. Quite often, in times of change, people actually tether themselves to what they're familiar with, their past, what they're used to, which means to go back to that and stay there. In this case, when you've got a bifurcation happening, you've got a positive and negative, it means in the chaos, you come out one side or the other. Where you're going to go is where your consciousness is being drawn. Remember where you place your attention, that's what you're feeding and making grow. So people stay in this negative states of violence and oppression and feeling victimized all the time, that's what you're going to resonate with. We don't want to think about those things anymore. Trouble with what's going on in the world is a lot of people actually playing the victim of it still. That isn't going to change it. Victim is where they're trying to keep you. We don't want to play that game. We're simply going to keep focusing on what we're creating. Not worrying about all the horrible things happening to us because we're not the victim. If we disentangle ourselves from those things, it doesn't affect us. It's not part of our reality. It's going to be that simple, really. Remember, it is all an illusion. Things not really are that simple. If you make that choice, change where you're resonating, it changes the reality and therefore the futures that you're creating. So the first thing then is to, in that chaos, keep sort of anchored to what you're becoming, where you're going. In that chaos, you know, okay, it's changing. We're getting there. Now let's focus it, make it happen. Keep your mind on what you want. This is where the kind of quantum entanglement clearing empowerment is going to help you. You can actually use this as many times as you want. I'm going to give you an orb of it. And I suggest when you do it, you're going to actually maybe meditate about 20 minutes at a time with it, but every time you use it to actually disentangle from the negative. And you can be specific with it as well. Is there anything in your life that you feel stuck with that's always there? You need to disentangle yourself, use it on that. It can actually work for all negative states. People you attach to, the people you're down. Events that keep happening again and again because you're in that resonance. You can actually disentangle all those things so you're no longer resonating with them. You can be free of them. It'll free your mind to actually focus on what you really want, on the positive.
So
So
just to
first thing is
confirm,
to
Peter, if people find them in a repeated situation and they want to disentangle themselves repeatedly, they need to listen to this recording. Is that correct?
It'll just, no, once we've given them the orb, they can simply activate the orb any time.
Okay, so you're giving them an orb, not
I'm
just
going to
the
give the orb
healing
at the moment,
itself.
yes. Yeah,
Okay, yeah.
it's going to take a few minutes to transfer the orb, but then you can use it any time. But
Okay,
basically, if you
great.
use this orb, it's going to disentangle you, basically, from all negative states. And so you can be specific, anything that keeps happening in your life that's there. Now, you don't have to use many times. The idea of only doing it once, it stops happening because you actually disentangled from the event. It's happening because you're entangled. That's why it keeps happening. It keeps you resonating with that frequency, that kind of state of creation. So once you've actually disentangled, it's much easier to not create that anymore. But it is our creation in the end, is what you focus upon that's going to create it. So this tattoo is really to help your mind be free. So you can focus on what you want. It's not the result, it's not the kind of cure of everything. It frees your mind so you can do it. And the important thing to remember is that in that chaos, you're really in that state of creation where you're going to choose where this chaos is going to end up. That's the time to focus on where you're going. You know, in this state of change, where's it going to go to? That's what we're deciding. Things are going to go into chaos one way or another. We could be in the edge of World War III. It doesn't have to actually happen, but people are going to be stirred up enough by this chaos to actually almost goes there. But we can decide, do we really want to happen to World War III and be destroyed, or is it all going to suddenly change around and people wake up and kick the corruption out and, you know, look at what you want to create here. Focus on that alone. Don't get pulled into the negative. Don't play the victim. Just create what you want, the better world. Second thing I was talking about on the blog was beauty versus violence. To understand the hallows where we wake up, we realize that all the positives have a downside if we're not taking it. I gave the example of beauty because beauty helps us wake up by giving a sense of our eternity. What beauty really is that combination of joy with peace, exhilaration with serenity. It's a state of creation. It's the first energy the goddess breathes into the universe. God is joyous, but joy on its own is too fiery. She has to add peace to it. That creates beauty. It's a raw energy of magic, basically. When you see something beautiful, we call it beautiful only because it gives you that feeling. Beauty is this energy you want to be in, where you're a kind of exhilaration with serenity, creates a suspended moment that's eternal. It gives you a sense of your eternity this way. But people get there through violence. If you don't have beauty, you'll be drawn to violence to try and play God to give you a sense of your eternity. That's what violence is really about. The other hallows I've spoken about before, love goes with pain because both bring you close. Love is a place of waking up. You get to know people closely through love. You get to know the creator closely with love. You also bond very closely through pain. If you can't let love in, you end up with pain. The other pair I spoke about before when I was talking about crisis is enchantment with crisis. Both are places like cracks in the reality where the soul can speak to you. The normal routine is broken so something else can come in. In an enchanted moment, there's that suspended moment where suddenly you stop. You're not paying attention to mundane anymore and you're letting the soul speak. Happens in crisis, the routine is broken, nothing is working, so you are open to something else. The other pair was loneliness and solitude. They're two different things. Solitude is kind of intimacy with yourself. If you're not allowing that, you feel lonely. By both the places you wake up, by quite often with loneliness, you wake up by going to the shadow. You go into that blackness and despair where you actually find some of your soul. There's all different ways you wake up, and if you don't get the positive, the negative follows instead. In this case, what you're looking at in the world is lots of violence, which means what we need is the beauty. When you really look at what you create, it's important to bring beauty into it. After all, when you actually create something better, well, why do you want to create it? What's it, make it really good. It wants to touch your soul. This important thing when you're looking at our creation in general, we want to actually make it have more depth. It's not just the mundane things we want. They only really give us joy when they filter inside and mean something to who we are. We have to bring beauty into the whole creation. We look at where we're going, we're looking for moments of beauty in everything. And try this. Last thing at night, before you go to bed, stop and think of where you saw of what beauty experienced that day. Sometimes you've got to really think about it, but when you start looking for it, you see more of it. The thing is to start finding those moments of beauty, those moments of joy with peace. Something with those times the soul has been touched and you feel in touch with eternity. Start looking for it, paying attention to it, and bringing it into your futures. See your futures as beautiful in some way or another. Bring the energy in now, because this is an important one to actually get us to the right side. Okay, before we do the attunements, then we'll go into some questions.
The first question, Justine, well, actually, it's not the first question, but when you bring the orb in and people need to program it, is there a particular name?
We call it the quantum entanglement releasing orb.
If someone could write that in the chat, please, the quantum entanglement
Entanglement releasing orb.
releasing orb.
Let's put the chat.
So I can do it.
Okay. I can spell it quantum. All
I'm doing it, Peter.
oh, right. How you do it?
There you go. Sorry, there's a spelling mistake in there, but I was
There you go.
typing.
That's why I was going
All
to
right. So I was typing too quickly. Okay.
it.
Someone is asking if it's available on the website, but it's not necessary because if you're
This
here, you're receiving the orb now. So
I'm giving it free
no.
now.
Yeah.
It's very new, so I haven't had the time to put it. Make it a package or anything. I'm just going to give it out because it's like we need to use it now. Now's the time. Get on with it.
Yeah, and if you know of anyone else who you would like to be attuned to this orb, then just get them to watch the replay. This is a public Q&A, so it's available to anyone and everyone. Could you expand a bit more on why violence and playing God gives you a sense of eternity?
It's why you're violent. You're trying to play God when God is eternal. That's what you're really going for. You want to be God. This is what eternity is about. You go into the eternal part of yourself, going past the God self. But obviously, it's not a very good way of doing it with being violent because that's trying to play God rather than actually experiencing it. But it's an attempt to the same thing. Might not be working, but this is where you're going with it. It's what you're trying to get. When you're being violent because you want to play God, you want to be in charge, you want to possibly be around and be in charge, basically, and show your power.
I've got a couple of non-related questions. Let's just go over here to see if we've got any other related ones. No, No, not at the moment, not topic related. So, do you want to go on to the attunement and then we can go on to non-topic related
Okay, then
after?
let's do the attunement now then. So just to close your eyes a moment, just be aware to the, and open to receive, set the intention of receiving the quantum entanglement releasing orb. It's being embedded into the recording as well, so people can pick it up from this part of the recording. And included within it is the opening of a celestial vortex. It goes into your higher chakras. Okay, you've got it. So remember when you use it, just actually activate it, call it by its name, quantum entanglement release orb, and just sit and meditate for 20 minutes. If you want to actually clear a particular entanglement that something you know is there, set your attention for that and it'll do it. Okay, so should we go into other questions then?
Amazing. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's go over to the pre-submitted ones. You say that illness and injury appear in the aura up to 3 days before the event. Could you please explain how this works?
Isn't because nothing is really an accident. It's creating consciousness first. It's how things actually move from layer to layer. The physical is the end result of another process. Our thoughts, our feelings are creating our reality all the time, but it takes a bit of time for it to manifest. It first happens on the astral plane, so it's there before it happens physically. And this shows in the aura. When you actually take aura photography, you can actually see it. It'll appear in the aura before you have the accident. You do the same with leaves, you know, they've got a bit of a leaf and bits are still showing there, and then, you know, it shows you. In, you know, all kinds of things show up. If the that's an experiment where you actually take a piece of a leaf and put it on, take a photograph to see how the aura changes. I find it actually changes before you take the piece off it. So it's almost like it's preparing. It's like nothing's really an accident. You're creating consciousness already. It's interesting when I've had accidents, I've noticed that it's always at a certain kind of pattern going on inside your consciousness, usually out of control. I know when I broke my ankle last time, it's because we just moved from England and we had to sell the house from a distance, and you know, everything was out of control basically. And yep, people can look outside and say you've been cursed here and there, but no, out of control, that's what did it. So you know that we create certain patterns in our mind which are actually creating the event. It shows in the aura before it becomes physical. Nothing is really an accident. We are creating it. And by the way, pregnancy shows the aura 6 weeks before conception. So that's never an accident either.
Thank you very much. Moving on to the next pre-submitted question. Do you know much about the stories of Queen of Sheba being Lilith or called a Lilith? Also, the stories of how she had a child called Joshua ben Sira, whose father was King Solomon.
Yes, the Queen of Sheba was no devilish to Solomon, but she wasn't there. She was a jinn. We'll be clear about this. A lot of people associate various beings, things with the same deity because they've removed all the others. She had a name, can't remember what it was now. Bilkis. That was her name. The Queen of Sheba was named Bilkis. She was a jinn. That's a jinn, which is very magical, very powerful. So naturally, King Solomon had an affinity for her and they shared things. But that was her name, Bilkis. She wasn't there.
When does the collective timeline shift happen? Is it in the next 6 months or in the next 12 months?
This is where it gets funky because we're creating individually now, which means we don't do it all at the same time. There is no collective timeline anymore. People are creating the reality individually. That's why we're having a bifurcation. Some people are creating a different reality from others. If you look at your life around you now, you see people already in slightly different realities. The way they describe the world around them, they can be in a slightly different reality from you. Yes, you can say it's perception, but everything is perception. That's where it starts. We begin to move into different realities. This fits with many other questions about when things are happening, because we're changing at on an individual level now. Nothing happens at the same time for everybody. Some people wonder where the new age starts. What do you decide? New age is about reality, creating your reality. When you do that, you're in the new age. Different people do it at different times. Same way with this kind of bifurcation going on. We are going to wake up into this new state at our own rate. We don't all necessarily do it together because we're creating individually. There are some links together. We've realized we have less with other people and we start doing things in groups, but it won't all be at once. You may see a shift across the world. There's a change over there in another country, then over there in another country, and you see shifts happening gradually. And it's really down to us. It happens when you create it, basically. And people are changing. Not everybody's aware that they need to actually create it consciously, but people are changing. They're making choices. They're choosing not to go with the slavery and to actually wake up and think for themselves and actually work on it, change the world in some way. So you can see it is happening, but it's up to you. There's no fixed time when it's going to happen. You decide.
So the next series of questions are to do with jinn. Can you talk more about the succubi in I don't know how to pronounce them. The succubi,
Succubi.
incubi, succubi. Thank you very much. And how we can co-create work with them.
First of all, let's look at some of the different ideas of succubi and where they come from. Because there have to be different ideas around them, and it's important to get this straight here, otherwise, you can actually go wrong with it. One thing that quite often medieval times people thought of some demon that's going to come and seduce you in your sleep and take your energy. Now, these days, everybody wants that because they want to be seduced in their sleep, and people are selling them all over eBay and Etsy and places like that. People are actually having spells done to give them succubi in their dreams. But actually, this is all kind of an individual creation. The idea of succubi really came from the Lamia. These are the half snake beings which are under Lilith. They were sexual teachers, yes, but there's not something you conjure in your sleep as something that sucks you in a jaw as a sex slave. They're teachers because they teach you all about your sexuality, your seduction, your power, help raise the Kundalini and things like that. Linked to Lilith, expected to actually be initiators to energy. They initiate the sexual energy. They activate the Kundalini, teach you about seduction, awakening, arousal, all those things that you need to
All those
actually
things
win in that
you
game, as
need to
it were.
actually
They were
win.
teachers. So if you really want to actually work with them, yes, they're very helpful beings to work with. And actually, when you look at it in how the old tradition worked, you all have naturally have our own incubus or succubus, or Lamia rather, which is a part of ourselves trying to awaken, the sexual part that's also to the serpent energy, the Kundalini. It's about awakening that, really. That's what it's really about. So no point in really having loads of them. This is the whole modern idea of people getting excited and want loads of these sexy kind of sex slaves in their dreams. That's not how they work. You have your one, which is actually your particular sexual initiator in your own consciousness, another part of yourself, just like we have the higher self and the guardian angel things. We have a lamia, or succubus or incubus. It's actually the part of you which actually masters your sexual energy. So they are useful, but it's not something you can just, like, take as a slave or comes to suck you dry in your sleep. Those things actually just from suppression. If somebody suppresses their sexuality, like you coming up and dream because it doesn't want to be suppressed, it's going to appear somewhere. It's disturbing because they're suppressing it. That's not really the succubus. That's an idea of creating the consciousness because they're so much suppressed in their sexuality. The lamia are actually the initiating part of ourselves, which wake up that power.
Can you talk more about nymphs and how can we co-create and work with them?
Nymphs. Okay. They're different kind of nymphs. I mean, they are forms of nature spirit, and they're linked to different elements. You get forest nymphs and water nymphs because they're linked to the undines and elves and gnomes and so on. Although we generally divide the elementals into these four basic types. You have the undines of water, the gnomes of earth, salamanders of fire, and the sylphs of the air. They take on slightly different forms because they're shaped by consciousness. They're shaped by the person who's observing them. Like amongst the gnomes and the earth spirits, you get elves, you get to the wood nymphs. Nymphs seen as quite an innocent, childlike, but quite sexual being, because it's kind of just waking up and they see these naked forms in the woods. This actual reflection of the adolescent side of oneself. You see, these elementals going to reflect your state of mind. If people approach with that kind of adolescent sense of sexuality without wanting to see everything running around naked, that's what they'll see. So the earth spirits appear as these wood nymphs. The undines will appear as water nymphs. They'll have a similar energy, and they will take on energy putting up to them, therefore they will become sexual. Unlike the succubi, they're not actually initiated, it's not a draining either. They simply are. And they do feed you. Elementals there to actually put life into matter, to take energy from the ethers and release it into matter. And they feed it us in different ways. The earth spirits to feed the body, help heal it. Water spirits feed the emotions, and so on. Fire spirits feed the will. So you say it might be a water nymph, it's actually going to nourish that emotional part of yourself, the sensuality, and so on. Whereas the kind of wood nymphs are going to actually affect the more earthy side of yourself, the body. Help you get it up, as it were, and give you some virility there and things like that. So they will actually feed energy into you because this is what all the elementals do. They bring entity, life into us.
Can you explain what it means to shapeshift into a tiger? My mind just cannot comprehend this. Is this energetically to become a tiger, or do you actually become a tiger animal with orange and black stripes?
That was the idea. I don't know how many people actually achieved that one. It's interesting to spell that one, but put it there because it's a very traditional one. And you find quite often these things do work, but they take three times as long as they used to because people are getting far more stuck in their consciousness. People just don't believe it anymore. Remember that our consciousness, our expectation, very much shapes our reality. There are places where shape-shifting is quite natural because that's the way they're brought up. But the Westerner who goes out there doesn't believe it. It's going to be hard to do. But if you actually work on it long enough, you'll break through that and actually achieve it. These things do happen, yeah. But the idea of that spell was to actually shift physically to become a were-tiger.
Can I bind more jinn into one ring? Sometimes I would call bind all jinns that can help me with finances, wealth, abundance, money, and business together as a team to co-create my new reality. Is this possible?
They can
Or
if
should
they
that be
are a team.
separate?
Obviously, when you conjure the djinn, you've got to actually make sure you've got a group that they do work together. If they're not friends, then don't put in the same vessel. But you do have groups. You also have commanders. I've got quite a few around here. Example. Oops. Pulled something off there. This knife, for instance, the old dragon knife. This is the home of a djinn commander, but it has an army of 10,000 djinn. So in one vessel, then I can command 10,000 djinn, but they're not all living it. The commander lives in it. So yeah, we work together in groups. If you've got the commander, the rest will follow. So you have different levels of a hierarchy. So this is a very, very ancient dragon knife, which came as an heirloom from the dragon I got from Indonesia. But it has a command of 10,000 djinn, because he has the commander. So you have little groups that way. Have various vessels containing commanders here, so it's safe having to have loads of vessels. Got quite a few of them actually. Got armies all over the place. So we've got thousands of djinn. Got a big vessel down here,
You're
which is
going
about
into
yeah, about 500,000 here.
was going to say you're going in onto the verge of millions, Peter.
Yeah, but almost about 500,000 so far.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen your house. Next
Lovely.
question.
I see there's a
Can
hierarchy. The dragons have many jinn under them. So each new dragon I get usually has armies of jinn as well.
Yeah. Can you talk more about the goddess Hecate and how to work with her?
Okay. Interesting that it's usually seen as Greek, but actually, I mean, look at the name, it actually comes from Egypt because there was a link between these different cultures. Hekau is magic. T is the hieroglyph of the overbed, which is the earthing bit, is the grounding of magic, the manifestation, the personification of magic, basically. That's what Hecate means. A lot that's actually missing in quite the myths, which is actually in more hidden places, you can see in certain hieroglyphs, is that she was one of the daughters of Isis. Came in later as an underworld goddess, therefore queen of the underworld. Now, quite often when these goddesses have like a new son or daughter, they actually take the power a bit further. Although not as well known, they tend to actually amplify the power of what the parent goddess had, which means her mastery of magic is even greater than Isis. Isis is the throne, which is therefore the authority over all power. Hecate is the personification of magic itself. It's the one who gets it all done. She had many names. See, in the early days, everything was matriarchal. It gradually started shifting about 6,000 years ago, when patriarchy took over after the following 4,000 years. And for instance, Lucifer was also taken by the names of Hecate. Lucifer was light bearer. One of Hecate's names was Lucifera, the light bearing queen, because she bears the torch in the underworld. So a lot of the functions of the modern demons are taking over from Hecate, who was the underworld goddess, therefore the master of it all. Being a crossroads goddess, she had the three sides. She ruled the kind of underworld, middle world, and upper world, a bit like Shiva does in the Vedic tradition. Therefore, she's a queen of heaven, earth, and hell. She rules the demons, she rules the underworld crossroads, all the gateways, she rules all doorways between dimensions, all dimensional gateways. She actually is therefore the one who brings things in. She's therefore a doorkeeper. She's many things. She has many titles, since she has 40 names. You know, many of these goddesses have many names. She's got Lucifer, which is the light-bearing queen. Then you have Lycaonia, the wolf goddess. She's got, yeah, she's because she has so many titles. She's the queen of heaven. She's the kind of destroyer of mankind, bearer of the black flame. So many different names because she's a big goddess. Basically, covers all magic. She's the manifestation of magic itself. Therefore, covers everything about magic. Its doorways, the set quantity to get there, the journey to the underworld, the guidance through the shadow, all those things are part of Hecate. Very important goddess. And actually, many of the jinn were originally under Hecate. So things change later, they start making male deities, but Hecate is much older. Found trace of her, for instance, in places like in Turkey around Ephesus, various jinn portals all into Hecate. Some of the temples still have a little kind of images in hidden corners where she's controlling the underworld, and they're usually jinn portals there. So she's very much a jinn goddess too, because she opens the doors to all these different spirits. So yeah, very important magical goddess, basically, with many, many different functions.
With regards to the in-person point holding course that is coming up, will you be welcoming online participants as well as you have done beforehand?
Possible. Probably fit a few in, but obviously we have to make sure that it's not overloaded, because obviously we can, we've got to fit the people there in, and we're guiding people from a distance, so we can only do so many. But they'll be opening for that, yeah.
And in the last workshop, you gave an all before Adi Parashakti, and there was a mantra on the handout that you said reciting it was not necessary. But what about a mudra? Is there one that you recommend that would be good for whilst meditating that aligns with her?
No, see, because that form is beyond all the different forms. That's why it seems, that's why it's seen as a principle rather than a particular goddess. She doesn't have a form. We don't see her drawn anywhere. She's behind all the different Mahavidyas, all the goddesses. Same as those Isis unveiled. It's the pure light. It's not a form. So therefore, there's no form, no image, not even an actual name. Adi Parashakti means the first divine power. Just like the original specialist was in Egypt was the ice unveiled. Unveiled means it's beyond the form. You're not seeing an image anymore, it's seeing what's beyond. It's looking at that pure light of creation. This is why I'm not too attached to the mantra, because when we actually listen to that unspeakable name of God, that's the real sound of it. It's not something you can speak. It's that silence that's almost deafening. Paying attention to that is more important. Names and mantras can have meaning to take you towards that principle, but actually hearing that unhearable sound is more important.
So Stefan is asking for your clarification or a confirmation. So there is no hand mudra, just hands on the lap.
Doesn't matter if you forget about the body anyway. If you go deep enough, you're not aware of the body, so don't worry about what it's doing.
With regards to, so we're going back to the orb that you've given us, the attunement. Can you name some entanglements that are fundamental right now, something that we maybe we're not thinking of that we need to free ourselves from?
Well, there are entanglements to negative entities, being they're trying to pull in various aliens, old ones, but also the simple states of consciousness they're trying to bring into the world: slavery, despair, powerlessness, apathy, obedience. These were states that they're trying to entangle us to. So anything like that that you don't like, any lower vibration you can disentangle from, basically. This is made to actually disentangle you from anything of lower vibration.
Thank you. And you were talking about the shift that's going to be happening, whether in 6 to 12 months. Is there a way to manage the shift as a family at the same time so everyone goes in the same way?
As is, it's not an exact time. We all do it individually. So we are doing it as family, but it doesn't have to be at the same time. It doesn't work that way, you see. If you're all doing it, we're all helping it along, and we're all going there. We're creating that resonance. It doesn't have to be a fixed time. You all free to do it at your own time. That's fine. Do it, fit things into your own routine, make it convenient for you. Just making this a part of your life. Just keeping your mind in a positive state, visualizing where you're going, looking for the beauty, all those things, and disentangling all the negative. Do this in your own way.
An amazing question come in. What happens if you're going to the right side of bifurcation a lot earlier than us, Slot Peter? Can we still contact you for healings?
Yeah, I'll leave you my number.
You don't have one.
No, I'll have one in the other side.
You
I'll be around, don't you worry.
don't have one now. And again,
I'm multidimensional, remember.
with regards to the orb. Should we use the orb any time we are triggered by the outside world and drop into fear or other causes of
Oh
low
yeah,
vibe state?
just disentangle for a bit, and you can let it go more easily, and then you can remember to create your own reality.
Regarding chaos, I find myself in a number of conflicts at this moment at work and in my private life. There are a lot of lies, power games, etc., all around me. I feel overwhelmed, and at the same time, I have decided to not back down, and I have decided to fight. What magic is best to deal with this, dragon or Egyptian?
Both are good, but I say dragons particularly because they are strong and they don't back down. They're strong. They exert your will. So I definitely go for the Nagadigdaya, the powerful dragon. When you use Egyptian magic, I'd use Horus. He's the warrior. You'll fight your way through there. But also Jehuti. You see, he's the god of magic. He can actually disarm anything that's against you. He'll simply render it void of substance, so the power against you don't no longer exist. There's no power. So you can use spells of Jehuti, Horus, you can work with the dragon, Nagadigadaya, they all work. If you do Buddha, you can work with the Ogun, he's also the warrior, gives that fortitude to win.
Voodoo, number one, do you offer Lavatet, Lave?
Oh no, the left tet, you mean? Which is the washing of the
Lav.
head. I can, but the trouble is that has to be done in person. It's not something I do regularly because it is a simple purification ritual. But I have other ways of doing that without having to do the love tet. But, there's ways of achieving that purification, yeah. The love tet was simply a very particular voodoo way of actually washing and using water and invocations to take negative energy out of you, the purification ritual.
And the second question is, for those interested in Kanzo, can you help them or recommend someone who can?
Ah, we're working on that one. I've actually got a friend out in Pisac, not just in the centre we do the medicine in, who's actually may out in the forest, who's actually building a retreat, so we'll have that soon. So we actually have a little space for out in the woods, away from everything. We can actually do a full Kanzo in the proper retreat. We can build the Jevo, the place of dreams and everything, and actually do it properly there. So that's coming. We're working on it. Probably won't be this year because we've got the Medicine Beach planning, but maybe the following year.
You were talking about Jehuti. Do you have any, what are the spells of Jehuti, or how do we bring in his protection?
Well, first of all, you call him as usual. You'd use the basic indication, Anahata Kajuti. Anahata Kajuti means hell to you, and it's the basic way of calling him in. You use the kind of the symbols of Osiris slain and risen. This way, and when you call Anahata Kajuti, then of course, Nuk Jehuti, so you're pulling him into you, and then you're ready to activate him. A simple spell you use as well, but you won't actually take his form. You take his place in order to have authority over magic. The sky trembles, the earth shivers before me. I am a magician, I possess magic. I sit in my nest of venerable Isis, and Jehuti is my name. I am Jehuti, he who acts as interpreter of the gods, master of divine speech. You say a little affirmation like that to actually associate yourself with him, and then you actually feel in touch with the magic.
You've talked more about this before, I know you have, but I can't remember what workshop that would have been in.
Probably Egyptian
And
one.
I'm sorry, no, I don't, well, you haven't done any
Okay.
workshop on
Yeah.
that. And I know what Miriam's going to type. Can you write that in the chat? I'm sure. Can
Yeah.
you replay the recording, Miriam? Replay the
I
recording.
can write it down in a minute.
Yeah.
Here we go, yeah.
Da -da -da -da. Okay, moving on. Are we still doing Karana Kabar to destroy the egregore of
Oh yeah.
BlackRock?
Oh yeah. They're going down notice, so the CEO is already being arrested for child abuse. So those things are happening.
So the question came in with regards to sending the quantum entanglement orb to others, and I said that they would need to receive the attunement
Yeah.
by listening to this call. But the
Yeah.
next question was, is it possible to put the attunement in an orb and send it, please? So that
I
other
haven't done
people
that
can
to you,
listen to
no,
it.
but no, they'd have to receive it directly at this stage. They haven't actually made it the way which can be passed on. It's just, this first setting up of it. So they should get it from the recording, first of all.
So if people can shapeshift, because apparently we can turn into tigers, what about teleportation? How would one develop this? I once read a blog about teleporting monks, but also about a djinn spell that grants you a sort of flight to do such a thing.
Yeah, I heard about these spells, but I haven't seen actually do them. It is one of the cities. As I was saying, it's like expectation has changed. Some things we just don't do anymore because we don't expect to. There was a time when this was more possible because people were open to it. It's all down to our expectation, what we hold in consciousness. The more real we make the world, the harder it is to do these things. So we would have to start by doing the basic meditations I'm teaching about, making the world less real, using the Syrian triangle and things like that. But yeah, in the end, after many, many years of practice, you do it these various cities through the Vedic techniques, the city yoga. And that's one of them. Though I don't know many people have achieved that one, but that was one of the traditional cities. It would be nice, wouldn't it? But there's more important things to do first, like getting the world straightened out. Just imagine that, the world is crap, but I'll have fun and just pop through this wall for a minute and it'll make me happy. You want to actually create the world first as we want it. It's more important.
Okay, so a bit of a long one here. Normally, I work with the Loire, and ha plus many bad problems, and many bad problems resolve quickly, and things start to flow well. But in the last 2 months, I haven't been able to feed them very much because I'm still not able to walk a lot of the time. Now, I urgently need to feed Gedi and Lassaren to resolve relationship issues and sort out issues to do with intimacy and survival, as well as stop an abusive behaviour that has resurfaced since I started being much more assertive. Is the relationship with my Mektet at risk if I don't feed her, Lassaren? Is there anything else I can do if things start to go wrong if I neglect feeding her, especially, Lassaren?
Find a way, even if it's not a complete ritual. If you can just put any little offering on the altar, a bit of melon, bit of champagne, whatever. Just make any kind of offering. So it doesn't have to be a full ritual. There's always something you can do. Thing is, for Lester, and she doesn't like to be neglected. You got to put give her some attention. Don't have to make a big, heavy ritual out of it. Doesn't make you have to be extreme. Just do what you can. like give her something, give her some attention, even just singing a song.
It says here, does it still work as effectively if I ask someone else who has them installed in their head to feed them on my behalf
You
until I'm
can.
better, or would
It can,
gin
yep.
be a better alternative?
You can use the djinn spells, but actually, yes, they want feeding. Somebody else can feed them as well, as long as they get their offerings. But I said even the songs are offering, and just putting some champagne in the altar, anything like that, some flowers in the altar, anything you give them is, you give them attention, you give them energy.
So you were talking about Hecate. Is there an attunement that you offer on your website to her?
I don't think I put this specifically, but there is a little mention about that I can do different goddess, attunements for 20 quid each. So, I can do that one easily. Yeah, I might put it on
So
the
there you
list,
go.
but yeah.
So if you write to Peter, if you email Peter directly, then you will be able to receive that attunement. Can you
I might even make a little
explain?
course on that one if people are interested.
I'm sure they are.
Yep.
Can you please explain how gin and kodam can help with martial arts, especially in conjunction with Tanaga de Lamp?
Okay, first, some of the kodams, particularly for protection, help. They're used in some of the kind of Indonesian martial arts, similar like penchak, so that it's part of it. So you can put a kodam in to actually takes over and fights for you. Like I've known a fighter out there, and it's like every time before he goes to fight, you can see him go into a trance and something takes over, and he always wins. So you can see spirits can take over that way. There's particular kinds of kodam that do that, the warrior kodams. So yeah, they can be conjured. Otherwise, it's mainly a Tenno Dalam used for invulnerability and strength and speed and so on. There's forms of Tenno Dalam which boost its physical functions. Although basic Tenno Dalam is basically for protection, there are more martial forms which also give you the power punch, increase your speed, stamina, strength, as well as your invulnerability. So, there are various powers. Jinn are a bit different. It is possibly possessed by a jinn that will fight, but it's generally kodams that do it. See, when you get possessed by a djinn, it tends to take over your personality. You start having different tastes, different habits, because it's actually taking over to a degree. Kodams don't do that. They simply have the power without overriding your personality.
Oh, sorry, I think you might have been hearing my typing then. I was replying to
Yeah.
someone. For the next online point holding in June, will past students of part one and two get a discount if they want to redo it?
There's, I think somewhere we've put on the site that there is a particular lower fee for those who want to retake here. I can't remember what it is, but it should be there somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's on there. You said that the quantum entanglement releasing orb is now in our crown chakra. Do we need to multiply it?
It's worthwhile doing that anyway. I tend to try and make them automatically this way, but it's good if you become part of protecting yourself to actually give it some personal input. Yes, tell it to multiply itself to be sure.
And if somebody wants to attend the Kanzo next year, what kind of budget are you looking at? Do you know yet?
I could have discussed that with the owner of the land first of all, see what he charges, and I've got to get my flight out there, obviously, but it should be a Kanzo is generally for 2 weeks. So for the time out there, what we usually people accommodations
I
there
would
not a lot.
suggest don't say a number right now, Peter.
No.
I'm
But
stepping
basically
in saying no, don't
it's
say it.
2 weeks, so it's not gonna be any more than the medicine retreats anyway.
Well, you don't know because you don't know how much he's going to charge you for the land.
That's true, yeah. But he's
Yeah.
okay, so he's not okay, sort of bloke. He shouldn't charge too much, I don't think. But we'll plan it soon anyway. But
Yeah.
it's probably not gonna be much, any more than the medicine retreats.
It's going to be in Peru.
Yeah.
Someone was asking where it's going to be. It's in Peru. Okay, so again, back to the quantum entanglement orb. Can it also clear entanglement with a sister? I have cut karmic knots
Yes.
between us, but some clearly remain in that she gets angry or hurt often.
Oh yeah, because it's like people get entangled to you as well. That's why you can never get rid of them. Their energy's in you, you're vibrating together. It will clear those things as well. Not just sisters, but anybody who seems to affect you all the time and won't go away.
After bifurcation occurs, without so many dark and interfering influences, will it be easier to activate other potentials, such as the amount of mind and brain power that supposedly we don't use currently,
Oh,
things
yeah.
such as empathy and more?
Oh, yeah, we're going to increase those at all because once you've got all this negativity out and all the oppression, you can really
Absolutely.
build up to become a god again. So many of the Egyptian powers I'm doing, we're bringing back more to actually go back to the original power of them, which is there about becoming a god.
And I do believe we are done with all of the questions
Okay.
thus far. I just got a Shiva statue. What would be good to offer and on what day to build a better connection?
Shiva's day is Monday, best done at dusk as sun setting. And generally, one of the Shiva's main practices is Abhishek, which is where you pour milk over it while you do the kind of do his kind of stotrams, build Ashtakam, Ling Ashtakam stotram. So you basically do your prayers while pouring milk over it, you offer him fruit, usually 5 pieces of fruit, 5 his number, incense, and milk.
Is the air and oxygen levels in Peru going to be too much for Miriam?
You adjust. Yes, it's high altitude. I know, so a bit hard to breathe. I mean, but as you remember, we were there. We were training then, running and everything. It was a lot, but no,
You weren't
we'd.
running, I was.
You were running, but I was training. Kicking away there.
Let's just get that straight. You
No,
skipped the running
we
part.
ran there when we were late.
It's only 500 meters down
Yeah, that's the one. That's warm up for the
the
training.
road. Yeah. During the discreation process, we're going through the emotions in order to discreate them, but we can also neutralize certain things like fear or self-doubt with psionics. When do we need to welcome the emotions, and when can we neutralize them? Can you please explain the difference?
You should always welcome them, but obviously, if you neutralize the energy, they less like to stick. So you'll find we tend to identify with emotions. That's why you spend longer trying to release them. If you actually change that energy so they're not stuck to you anymore, it's easy to just welcome them and they go. It makes the process easier, but you should always do that. Emotions don't just vanish, they've got to be felt. What happens though, you'll feel them and release them more easily because, once you're not longer resisting, they don't stay. You feel them and they go. That simple. So I would neutralize them and release them. Welcome them.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. Can you please look for your for my emails, please? I've emailed a few things to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What now?
No, not right this second, no, but after. That would be good. There's four or five sat in your inbox from me.
Okay.
Is there a way to prevent others from seeing familiar in one's aura?
Seeing familiars.
It just says, is there a way to prevent others from seeing familiar in one's aura?
Okay, well, the familiar is basically usually just familiar spirits walking about, as I
One's
said.
familiars.
Yeah, so basically, yes, you cloak them. There are cloaking impairments too. We got a cloaking talisman in the psionic kit, so you can cloak them all.
In the God Vibration Mastery, there is an attunement so that we can pass this on to others, but you said that we're not able to pass this on. Can you please clarify? Can we
That
or
one you
can
can
we?
once you've done that one, yeah.
Okay.
Once you got to the end.
So a reminder to everybody that later on in the month, on the 18th, if you are part of the online Ultimate Healing course, and we have the next webinar coming up for that one. So please do keep ticking along with your content and make contact with your buddy. And then for the next Q&A call, it will be a private Q&A call, and that is on the 1st of June. Also, start thinking about online point holding or the opportunity to come to Europe and join the intensive for the 3 weeks. But you need to have completed part one first for both of those things. Crystal course in Germany, ayahuasca medicine retreat in August. And on the 2nd of June, we also have the next magical membership workshop, which is about the Merkabah. So, do you want to say something about that, Peter?
Yeah, a lot of people have an idea about Merkabah. It means light spirit body, but basically it's going to be certain forms are used to make changes of consciousness. First of all, to actually activate our own energy body, but also as a way of actually going beyond time and space to actually getting rid of stuff we don't want. One of the greatest values of this technique is you actually take anything, any of your problems, any of your patterns, any of your beliefs or anything, take it out beyond outside time and space and leave it there and you come back without it and it's gone. Makes a very easy and elegant way of releasing all the stuff you don't want.
Marvelous. Thank you very much. And as always, everybody, thank you very much for being part of the Q&A, because without you, we wouldn't have a Q&A. So thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your contributions, your questions, your thoughts. And we hope to see you all, those of you that are students, next month. Otherwise, we will see you in 2. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend, wherever you are. And we'll see you on the next call, whatever that is for you. Gracias, you are welcome. As we say here in, I'm not in Thailand anymore. I was going to say Yindi, but I'm not in Thailand, so it's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. All right, there. Here in New Zealand, we say, you're welcome. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Take care.
Okay, see you all next time.
Bye.
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 Oh, bye. Thanks.
Recording done.